example of how crazy things have been with children and work. Normally, I should say we're opposite each other. We're actually in the same room as each other.
Yes.
It's one of those rare schedules. Hi. It's one of those where weird schedules have allowed. But normally, before we start recording, before we press record, we'll talk for 15, 20 minutes, won't we? And then it's suddenly, right, we've got to get it done because someone's got to run off. I think today's pre-talk, and it's not talking about what we're going to talk about.
No.
It's just catching up.
Yeah.
I think we're coming up for, what, a good hour and a half or so?
Really long.
And it's only because I suddenly looked down and thought, because we're recording this in the break in the NITO ATP finals, we're both doing the doubles matches today, so we're recording this during the singles. I suddenly looked down and thought, if this match goes quickly, we might actually have to stop before we've even started. But it's just, we're talking a little bit about, look, everyone in their life juggles, but just juggling. In our case, it's children and work, but it's just sometimes the juggling gets a lot, doesn't it? Just trying to coordinate everything. And if one bit doesn't work, everything falls down.
Yeah, it can, and then starts sort of piling up just on each other. But I think, for me, it's the nature of tennis, isn't it? We don't know when we're going to finish.
Yeah, it's
we
true.
We never do. It can be particularly challenging, and it's difficult for everyone involved in tennis when it comes to scheduling. Most sports, you've got a start time and a rough end time. It's fairly close, but with tennis, you just have no idea. Something like Paris, for example, Paris Masters, 6 matches in a day.
It's a lot, isn't it?
I mean, you could have 6 one-hour matches, or you could have, like we had, 6 two-and-a-half-hour matches, and then that's taking up quite a long part of the day. So it's just more... more than anything, it's fine having long days. It's just easier if you know how long your day is going to be. And then sometimes you're like, oh, we're finished. That was quick. And then other times you're thinking, wow, we're only on the second match here.
And then if we're working remotely, it's the rushing home. I might get back for bedtime.
Yeah.
I don't mind missing bath time. But if I just get back to say goodnight, or if I get back in, so it's that constant. So I'm wondering if the life of a tennis player, did that prepare you for motherhood in that you don't know when things are going to begin or end? But then with babies, sometimes you get that, but sometimes you've got to be really routine. Certain things have got to happen at certain times with babies.
We're all about the routine, must say. We are routine lovers,
right?
as parents, that is for sure. And I don't get that sort of routine with work. You know, we can work loads of days in a row. You do a full tournament and then you don't work for a week or whatever. It can be fairly patchy. But, you know, on the flip side, we have a wonderful job that I very much love it, for sure. But it can logistically present challenges when it comes to life.
Yeah, because, I mean, the most common question from my children, if I'm working, but I'm working, so I'm going home every night, so I'm not on site somewhere, is, when are you going to be home? And I think, well, we've been through this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, genuinely, I could give you a window
later
of possibly. So today I've said, I'm pretty confident I'll be back before you go to bed.
Yeah, so it's actually much easier this week, isn't it?
This is easier.
The days are fairly stretched out because we've got 2 sessions and there's quite a big gap in the middle of them because there's only 4 matches. But, you know, that you sort of know roughly what time you're going to be finishing within the sort of an hour or two, especially if you're on the late singles. But, you know,
or I will not be back before you go to bed. But then the other thing I was telling you about, that when we are working and being based home, it's wonderful because you're at home. But when you get home, like I found last night, is I've got to get the school uniform set out, and the boys have different, and some days they go in and peek it, some days it's school uniform. I always forget, and I'm always told the next morning, Mum, it's not that day. Has the homework been done? Is that in the bag? And we're coming out to that time of year, we've got nativities, there's Christmas fairs, they want donations of unloved toys, and we've got millions of cuddly toys. But when you say to the boys, which ones don't you want anymore? I want all of them.
Yeah.
Well, you don't. You genuinely don't.
That one you haven't touched for a year.
And then there's sort of tears, and you feel so bad for ripping away the little bunny rabbit that they haven't looked at in 4 years. So it's just all those things at this time of year. Everyone gets busier at this time of year. Something about the winter and the Christmas. But there's all these different kind of fairs and stalls and things and events that I'm trying to remember. And I think as I get older, it gets harder.
Yeah.
And you're coming to the end of a long year work-wise. So it's just getting a little bit tougher.
And the tennis season goes out with a bang, right? Because
it does.
Obviously all the season ending, and it all sort of tag teams, because you've got the Masters with Paris, for example, the last big tournament. You've got the Next Gen in Milan. That's a huge event. At the same time, you've got the WTA Tour Finals in Guadalajara. And now we've got the World Tour Finals. Oh, I completely forgot about Billie Jean King Cup Finals. Sorry about that. We had the Billie Jean King. It's finals of everything. It's the end of the year. It's almost like we're just shouting, it's the end of the year. And then we will cap it all off with Davis Cup. That will finish.
Yep.
And then it's a month off.
Then. And there's a few exhibitions sprinkled in there.
Yes.
Tennis never stops.
It's a month off for me.
Completely. Yeah. Okay, so that's Naomi's schedule.
Yeah.
A month off. And pretty much mine too, but there are those little exhibitions.
Yes.
And bits and pieces dotted around. I have to say that I was working on the Billie Jean King Cup Finals, so I didn't forget that it took place.
No.
But it brought back during it a conversation we had a while ago about playing in the team situation. Now, you weren't the massive fan, were you, of the team setup? And for me, it was just, I think I like the idea of the team, but then it's the pressure. And I remember we're doing the World Feed commentary, and it was just so fascinating to see the way different players react. And I suddenly thought, for 99% of the year, you go out there on your own, you might not even have a coach beside you, or you've got your coach and your team, and you're the boss anyway. So even if you lose, you're letting yourself down primarily. But then suddenly in this team situation, you've got the coach, the captain on the bench. I mean, they're going through the ringer. You've got all your teammates sitting there jumping up and down thinking, and you're thinking, gosh, am I going to make life hard for her because she's got to follow me and I've lost, or what's going to happen? The pressure of looking over every time and seeing all these expectant faces, I don't know how I'd react in this situation, but I can see why people wouldn't want that kind of pressure when 99% of the time it's just yourself.
Yep, and that's why I hate it.
Gosh.
Absolutely hate it. I should just clarify that it wasn't my team that I didn't enjoy. It wasn't anything to do with anybody else. It was just a general team environment. I deliberately chose an individual sport, even though in the UK, we as girls are very heavily encouraged into team sports. I very much purposefully said, no, I don't want to do this all on my own. I want all the glory and all of the failure and all of the regret. I want it all. And it was just something that I found challenging, and it was more than anything, it was the responsibility for other people that I just didn't have when I was competing on my own. I just liked to sort of bear the brunt of it. I was doing it for myself. I'm a very selfish person. Like, that's just how I wasn't playing tennis for anyone else. That's what it was. It was a lot, but you do see so many players just really, really thrive. And part of me always does think, I wonder whether they just would have had a better life in a team sport. But then you'd also have other teams where it's not so different because they support each other so well through the year. So my two thoughts, particularly on the men's side, and I'm sure there are some situations like this on the women's side as well, it's not a difference, but the ones that leap out to me are the Spanish men. And they're just always sort of watching each other.
Yeah.
They just are. I mean, I was watching Alcaraz play in Paris, and there was always another Spanish player watching. I think PCB was out watching him at some point, or whoever it might be. And also now the group of Russians, they seem sort of very supportive of each other.
And the French players, I get that feeling with the French as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sort of do feel that. I feel like Alcaraz has really been welcomed into the Spanish, like he's one of ours, and they're supporting. So maybe it's less of a leap for them. But there are other nations or other setups where it is just a little bit more individual and then you're just sort of thrown together for the tournament. So it is a fascinating dynamic and quite the task for a captain.
Were you happy that you went through the challenge of being in a team situation? Did you get anything out of it, or did you hate it as much at the end than you did as the beginning?
Oof, did I get anything out of it? I mean, yes, I suppose I really liked all of the people. That was probably the problem, is that I just liked people too much. I don't know if that's right. Maybe it's not right. But just that, I think I just wanted to win so badly for them. It just so totally changed my mindset. And so I just became more anxious on the court than I would have been.
So you couldn't be you. You couldn't play your game. You felt in that situation because you were putting too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you're also sort of, it's running through your mind what they're thinking as well. I had quite a bold game where I would sort of go for it. And, if you it's much easier when you're quite relaxed and no one really cares. Oh, if I just thump this forehand and it goes long, if I thought it was the right thing to do, then I thought it was the right thing to do. But you start second guessing yourself because they're going to be thinking, just make that return, for God's sake, it's break point, just get it in, whatever it might be. So it just sort of plays on your mind. But yeah, it's challenging. It's an individual sport, you know, almost 99% of the time, 95% of the time, something like that.
And then very hard suddenly to go in that. And maybe for some it's great because it's a change and it's different and it's exciting. And you have that bond when you're all together. And the Russian Tennis Federation, as they were known, as they are known as that in team sports, were so supportive of each other. And Belinda Bencic, she had everyone paint every match, every tie they won and they got through to the final. Everyone had to paint a nail with nail varnish.
Right.
So everyone, from Heinz Günther, the captain, to the fitness staff, to everyone, painted a nail, and they'd try and get little things like that, you know, little team things. And I think the Russian Tennis Federation, they were dressing up in Halloween outfits and saying that Igor Andreev, the captain, was going to have to wear a wig if they got through semifinals. I can tell you he didn't wear a wig. They got through, he didn't even wear a wig when they won the thing. But it's, and you could see Daria Kasatkina, her support of Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova and the other way around was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, Kasatkina just, I mean, it got to a point where they changed nomination and Kasatkina was then not playing because she was so exhausted. Because it's also the energy that you're putting out there just supporting your teammates. But then, again, you've suddenly got that weight of expectation. And for me, it was strange. I say I'll never be in that situation, but I did wonder a few times how I would react. And I could see how players don't react well because you step out of the court, you win it, you lose it. It's your name, but it's not your name. It's Switzerland, it's Italy, it's Spain, it's whatever it is. And just that pressure of, if you don't win this, we're out. And that's not something you're used to. So I found it, I enjoyed the competition. Billie Jean King was there. Apparently she spoke to all the players, all the captains, was very much present. And I think, look, they were the 12 nations under one roof. Russian Tennis Federation came out on top. And it was just difficult, though. This time of year is difficult because you got the players that weren't there because they were at the WTA finals in Guadalajara for likes of the Muguruza and the Badosa. And you have to make these decisions. You have to prioritise. And at this time of year, it's tough because it is coming towards the end of a long season. And you can't do everything.
You can't do anything. Anything? Everything.
Maybe you can't do anything.
You can't do everything, that's for sure. It's interesting as well, I think, with the women's side of things, that it does feel like there's a bit of shift at the top of the game. There's been quite a lot of chat about how nice and friendly and supportive it is. I mean, the battle between Ons Jabeur and Annette Kontaveit was the friendliest rival battle for the last spot in Guadalajara that you could ever see. I would say that Ons did, as much as everybody loves Ons, and Annette equally, they are both very popular people, Ons did end up withdrawing as she would have been an alternate.
Yep.
She decided not to go. So maybe she secretly knew she wasn't going to be able to play anyway because she was injured, and that actually Annette taking it
that was
her,
the best result.
It sort of worked out okay because she was very relaxed about it. Hey, have my dress. It's
I know, I was reading that thinking, wow, okay, that's she's taking it really well.
But the whole bunch in Guadalajara, it's a really friendly, lovely, but immensely and fiercely competitive on the court. But without that outside sort of little bit of needle that you often get in individual sports. I'm not saying whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, because a lot of people like that. I've always personally thought that in general in tennis, everybody's a bit too nice off the court. And that it not for any reason other than it's just entertaining for me when people have a bit of a go at each other. It's just purely
so selfish. You want more needle in Guadalajara? There's not enough needle for you?
I don't know. I am sort of enjoying the fact that it's so friendly.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, because we did have a bit of...
You're softening in your old age, aren't you?
Yeah, because we, you know, with Serena and Sharapova, they're very much sort of lone wolves. I mean, I know Serena had a sister, of course, Venus, but it was, you know, it felt quite insular that they were just getting on with business. And you also almost felt like, I mean, these players, I don't think they speak to anyone when they leave the court. They sort of have their cocoon of their
team. It's a job, isn't it?
Exactly. And it was just sort of ruthless. And, you know, I'm not here to make friends. I think it was Jeannie Bouchard who said something like that along the way.
Yeah.
And we had that era. And I thought it was fine. I had no issue with it at all. I wasn't sitting around wishing that people were more friendly.
Well, but I sort of understand, because you don't necessarily have to get on with everybody you work with.
Of course not.
And so why do we assume that they have to, everyone has to be best friends. You've got different personalities, different characters. You've got different ages. You've got a kid who's just coming onto the scene, and you've got a veteran in her late 30s. Why do they have to be best friends?
Yeah, it's also really tough to be friendly with somebody and then quickly turn on the sort of competitive nature on the court. It can be really difficult to do that, but it seems like they're doing that really well. So I am enjoying that sort of friendliness at the top of the game. I wouldn't mind it either way. I sort of like it when it gets a little bit heated and we go, oh, here we go, this is interesting. But I also like it when everyone's just having a lovely time and you think, wow, who wouldn't want to be a top 10 tennis player right now?
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I love the strength and depth. I love that competition at the top of the game at the moment. I love the fact that it went down to the wire, as in who was going to be there. I love the results we're getting in Guadalajara. I love the crowds we've been getting in.
This is great, isn't it?
In Guadalajara.
What a success. Especially after having to miss it last year, not in Guadalajara, in Shenzhen, to not have the tournament. And it's been awesome. They've absolutely nailed it.
They have, haven't they? I mean, there's an argument. Just the way the crowds have come out and supported them and the way the players have been playing. Now, I think it's been fabulous. There were some notable names missing, but it sounds awful. I don't think they've been missed.
No.
Sounds awful to say that.
Well, yeah. I think when Guadalajara was announced, there was a little bit of a raised eyebrow. It sort of came out of the blue to be in Guadalajara and not somewhere else. And then also that did provide difficulties for somebody like an Ash Barty to get there or whatever may happen. But it's been an absolute triumph. It's been a fantastic, it's not even over yet, but it's a fabulous, fabulous tournament. I think it's looked great on TV. I think the crowds have been absolutely fantastic. So, so lively. It's also worked out well because we had a couple of Spanish players there and they didn't know that when they agreed the Guadalajara thing, but that does help because they've very much been supporting them. So I think it's been awesome. I can't wait to see who wins it. I don't know. I did the final of the tournament in Romania, the Transylvania Open in Cluj, and watched Annette playing.
Transylvanian Open, it's just great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Dracula did the coin toss, it was brilliant. I tried to come up with as many sort of puns and things like that as I could, but it was quite tragic.
We lost a child while out trick-or-treating on the front. Oh. Well, not permanently, and I didn't lose them. There were lots of groups of us, and we all split into little groups.
Yeah.
And my little group, sorry to veer off from Dracula.
Lost a child.
My little group stayed together. No, my little group stayed together wonderfully. But when everyone got back, someone said, where's X? And everyone just looked around saying, I haven't seen X. And wonderfully, X was fine. He had just, because it was one of these, it was a group of roads and there was lots of people doing it. He was a zombie, I think.
Yeah.
As a zombie, he'd just sort of wandered off into another group. And he was very happy. He came back smiling with this bucket full of sweets. He'd had a great old time. But there was we'd sort of mislaid a child for a while. But all was fine in the end.
It wasn't Dracula, though.
It wasn't Dracula. The zombie came back. Everyone was fine and everyone was filled with sugar.
Well, I must say, a big, big effort for them getting the Transylvanian Open off the ground on Halloween weekend. Dracula was free. He was at every single match.
Of course he was.
I mean, it was
do you mean Dracula, someone dressed as Dracula?
Someone dressed as Dracula was
no, I didn't mean actually Dracula, but as in there was someone in full costume.
Yeah, full costume, makeup, the works, teeth, add it all. Yeah, and did the coin toss as well, I think, for one of the semi-finals.
What, Dracula?
Yes.
And why didn't he do it for the final?
And then weirdly, I think he was sat next to Dmitry Tursunov in Annette Kontaveit's box, and they were having a lovely chat. But she was playing against Halep, and I was thinking, wouldn't you be supporting the Romanian if you were Dracula? Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Possibly. Was he not brought back for the final then, Dracula? Are you telling me that
he was there the whole time? He just didn't do the coin toss, I don't think.
Right. Okay. Fine.
But he did not miss a set. Dracula loves his tennis. Who'd have known? Did not miss a shot.
There's some breaking news, but I think you're right. It sounded like it was and they had Emma Raducanu out there, and who was speaking Romanian, wasn't she? On
she
court?
Was speaking Romanian, yes. And you had Simona Halep, who is of course their superstar. I mean, they've adopted Emma. That's fine. It was a fabulous event. I really enjoyed it. But my point was going to the Transylvania Open. I mean, Annette Kontaveit, the level that she produced was absolutely sensational. Dmitry Tursunov has clearly done a fantastic job in terms of their partnership. So aggressive. Not surprised at all. I mean, you know, we talk about the thing between her and Ons Jabeur for that last spot. She literally had to win two tournaments in a row to get there, and that's what she did. It's mad, and we've seen it before. It's happened before, so it was so impressive. So I'm not surprised she's in the semis.
And it's sometimes just about having a change, isn't it? Because she was working with Nigel Sears for a long time. They parted ways and she was without a coach for a bit, just taking her time. And then you talked about the Tursunov partnership, and it's just sometimes a breath of fresh air, a different word. Maybe it's being at a stage of your career, and we've spoken about this before with other players. They're ready to listen. They're ready to make the change. They're ready to maybe hear some home truths where maybe in previous years they wouldn't have accepted it or put in the work to make the changes.
Yeah, it could just sort of fall into place. Yeah. That maybe that's right. I mean, she's always been a worker. But my word, she's being so, so aggressive. And yeah, she's one of the best players out there at the moment in the Final Four.
Amazing, isn't it?
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So you've talked about a couple of triumphs, which were Guadalajara, which hasn't finished yet, and the Transylvanian Open complete with Dracula. How was baby Fernando's first birthday party? Do we put that down as a triumph, and have you recovered?
It was a triumph. absolutely. No, it was good. Yeah, it was really good fun. We didn't really do anything for him.
We didn't really... Did you have a lovely day, the two of you then?
So we didn't really feel like, oh, well done you, you're 1 year old. We were very much sort of, well done us, we've done a fabulous
job. We've made it.
We've done a fabulous job, we deserve a reward. We didn't get him anything or anything like that. He's one, he doesn't know. We did take him, we had a lovely family day out. We went to the Science Museum, which is awesome for little ones. So we just had a...
Or was it awesome for adults and the little one would just happen to be there?
No, that we did that for him, but we didn't buy him anything. But we bought ourselves a very nice bottle of wine and... That's a nice evening.
Mate, did you do a cake smash? You didn't, did you?
No. Well, I must say that Ben made a phenomenal cake in the shape of number one.
Did your child put his head in it?
No, he had some, but no, he didn't do. We didn't do the full cake smash. Ben's not very into tidying up things and mess in general.
So. Oh, really? Oh, okay. So that was the reason for it, sort of
general mess. No, we all enjoyed the cake, and it was delightful. Yes. No, really great birthday, and yeah, I now have a 1 year old. Can't believe it.
Wow, that's gone so quickly, hasn't it?
It has.
I remember doing all those podcasts when you were getting ready to have baby Fernando.
That's it.
And all the unknowns and not knowing what was happening. Here we are a year later and you're balancing the two.
Yeah.
You're still afloat. Just.
Yeah, no, it's been good. We've been very, very lucky. He's been fairly smooth for the most part.
You've been doing drills with him, haven't you? I didn't know you were this hardcore with your throwing, catching balls, special balls. Like, there's me thought you might do the odd thing, but you've got like webbed balls that are certain.
Yep.
You didn't give me any of these little tips, but you've been like sort of army regiment training baby Fernando.
I've done a lot of ball work. We have indeed. We've done a lot of physical work. No, I felt like I did do some sort of quality sessions with him each day. A lot of rolling, and then we moved on to bouncing, throwing and catching, all that sort of thing. And yeah, he's a big fan. Tennis balls, rugby balls as well.
It's the fact you're calling them sessions.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's very
professional. Even from about 3 months old,
but sessions.
Like, right, we're doing a physical session right now. Are you ready? Off we go. You just look at me. Oh, what's going on? So, I mean, look, I'm well aware he's going to hate me at some point, but, you know, that's just how it is. I've got to go and watch the film on Richard Williams, King Richard.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should. I don't think you look. If you're giving your child sessions at like 2 months old or something, please don't go and watch a film. Yes, he produced two phenomenally successful children, tennis players, entrepreneurs, businesswomen. Don't take any ideas, please, from Richard Williams. Didn't he have the tennis racket in Venus Williams' hand when she was born, literally a few hours after?
Well, yeah. I mean, there were all these sort of, like, you know, prodigy type stories, aren't there? For example, didn't Tiger Woods has done some extraordinary stuff. I think at 18 months, what did he take a 7 on, like, a 400-yard, like, a par 4 or something?
Did he?
I can't remember. I don't know. It's on Wikipedia. But that's the sort of timeline we're aiming for. It's not really.
Do you think we'll ever see the likes of that again, the story of Serena and Venus Williams and what Richard Williams did?
I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? Because we it feels like in history, so often people say we're never going to see it again, and then it happens.
Or we assume when there is a prodigy, I imagine them. Probably an element of this about Emma Raducanu. You suddenly look at the parents and think, well, they must have been doing sessions since she was born. And that might not be the case, but because parents are involved, meaning they are present and around, people suddenly make these comparisons. But it doesn't mean they're the right comparisons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just because they're sort of there watching matches and are, as you say, involved in the career, it is suddenly, you know, Richard Williams is sort of always held up as the
almost the original.
The original, very intense
wow.
parent. I don't really know how to explain it. But, yeah, the comparisons are sort of often made. But, yeah, I mean, but even we... Well, maybe I haven't seen the film yet, but maybe that will... Because
no,
they've produced it, haven't they?
They were heavily involved in it.
Heavily involved. Maybe they're executive producer or, I don't know, something. But they've been involved. So I imagine it will shed some light as to what actually did go on when they were younger. But it is, you know, it's interesting because it's the same with, say, for example, Emma with her dad. I know that one of the most read articles post the US Open win was about her parents and her upbringing and what they did. And it is just that desire of how to create this successful child. But, you know, I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, because I'm not sure we've found that answer yet to Emma Raducanu. People still wondering how she did what she did at the US Open. Is there a simple, straightforward answer? Probably not. But as you say, they looked to the parents. Well, what did they do? And yes, of course, there are values and there are elements of your upbringing. But I think people, as you say, want to look, well, maybe it's the father and maybe he's like Richard Williams. And maybe this is why this happened, because we have that... We have that Richard Williams and how and what he did with his daughters, which is phenomenal. But
well, I do really think that parents being involved now is becoming more and more common and more sort of normalised, I think. So more in coaching capacities.
Oh, as in parents coaching?
Parents in sort of in the coaching capacities, and particularly on the men's side, because back when Judy Murray was heavily involved with Andy, and she was the one scouting the opponents, doing the video analysis, and very, very involved with his tennis... when he was, you know, playing in slams and very much up at the top of the game, she was pretty much the only one on the men's side. It's always happened on the women's side. But as we say, historically, it sort of has strayed into the too intense, you know, sort of parenting, coaching, blurred lines type thing, and it hasn't necessarily been a desirable thing. Whereas I think fast forward to now, and you look at a lot of parents involved, and it feels like they're just... involved, passionate, doing a good job, getting experts in when they need to. Not all of them, they're not all doing it in the same way, but it feels more and more common that you've got parents in the box. As I say, on the men's side, it's now seems to be coming up more and more. And also childhood coaches as well. Lorenzo Massetti working with a childhood coach. So people that...
You find that a lot with the Italians, don't you? The Italians talk a lot about this bond. It's almost like their coach is almost like a father figure that they've been with since the age of sort of 11 or 12.
Yeah, I know we've seen Tessa Shapovalov in the box a long time with Dennis being heavily involved. There's Vera, Alex Zverev Sr. as well. You know, just to name a couple. But it really was quite unusual, I think before. And as I say, you sort of had it on the women's side, but it was seen as just a little bit scary and a little bit too intense.
Or it's seen as, from the outside, a little bit of an interference. Well, the parents must be interfering. They're getting too involved. They should leave it to the experts. And and who knows your child better than you? I remember when we were looking around primary schools and we went to one school and I really wanted the twins to be in the same class because you can have, you know, in the reception, you can have two intakes, you can have two classes. I wanted them to be in one class. And I went to the school and I said, do you have separate classes? And they said, no, we separate twins. And they had two classes. And I said, why do you do that? And the answer was, because we know your children better than you do, which was astonishing for two reasons. Firstly, she'd never met my children. Mm. At this point, they were three and they'd never been near that school. But secondly, what a crazy thing to say. Other people can become involved and get to know them well. But as the parent of the child, not in all relationships, but mostly, you are going to know what makes your children tick the best.
Yeah.
It doesn't always mean you'll do the right things, but you are the ones that know them the best.
Yeah, and it's that stability, isn't it? So, you know, I think that it is key to have parents involved to a point. I mean, every situation is so different because every parent has a different amount of input. I mean, you could also argue with the family connections. You've got Tony Nadal as well, heavily involved. But I think it's different to a parent, you know, being an uncle. It's maybe one step removed, but still that level of stability. You know, he's always been, he's never gone anywhere. Well, I mean, he's not there. I'd say that. I'd take that back. He's not in the box anymore, is he?
He's gone.
But you know, he's always there in the back. It's not like Rafa's going to phone him yeah. and go, Tony, I need some help. And he's going to be like, no.
Not interested. We're done. It's we're over. Done. We did well. Phoenix. Sorry. He's gone. And Coco Gauff, who's coached by the dad, but they have other people to help. And the mother travels as well. So it's...
I don't know. I could completely retract this entire conversation after watching King Richard. I might go, actually.
Parents, step away. Yeah. Don't be involved. Leave it to the professionals.
It's a terrible idea.
There's a balance. And there's always going to be one instance where... I listened to an interview recently. I think it was with Horia Takao. That might sound a little bit random. But this was around the NITO ATP finals, of which he is part of with Kevin Kravitz. And he's actually announced he's retiring at the end of the tour finals. Had a wonderful career. But I'm sure it was the Takao interview when he said when he was younger that his father was his coach, and that's very common, the sort of the initial coach, but it got too intense. But his father, and he started to not enjoy it, but his father knew when to step back. And he said it was his father knowing when to step back, even when he was so young, that allowed him to carry on, flourish, and enjoy the game of tennis. Because if his father had stayed, he was very close to quitting tennis, even at that young age.
Yeah, it's difficult because you just don't know how, as you say, it's about knowing your child. I think that's the main thing, and understanding what works for them, because you do see some that are just sort of, they push a lot, and others that are sort of able to dial it up and dial it down. It's difficult. I mean, there's different levels of involvement, isn't there? There's obviously going to be a line for everyone. It's difficult to know what my line is going to be.
Well, I see the path. Again, I don't think you should go and watch the film. Yeah. because
I'll be taking over there with my notepad. Yeah,
Baby Fernandez already been having sessions since he was a child. And it was when I was listening to you and another colleague of ours just having this conversation, you say, no, it's a special ball and it's got these holes in it so they can grab them. I was like, wow, there's me. I just get a ball and sort of roll it to them. You're on a different level. That's a different level.
Well, there's nothing, you know, success is what motivates children. They need to fail, but they need to also be successful at the same time. So it's about that combination. You can't have too much of one without the other. So that's why you need a certain type of ball that's going to allow that ratio to be correct.
Oh, you see, it's just, I should have come to you.
I should have,
if I don't have these elite athletes when my children grow up, it's because I didn't go to you when they were young. I didn't have sessions.
I'm talking nonsense.
Didn't have sessions.
I've just got the balls. There's different balls. Lots of balls. Rugby ball, tennis ball, the works.
I should have come to you for sessions. But on the Emma Raducanu front, Torben Belst, long-term coach of Angelique Kerber, spent time with Donna Vekic. Your initial thoughts just on that appointment?
Great, really.
Got experience, lots of it.
Seems like a very calm... Everyone talks about his positivity. He's always been very positive. He's got a lot of experience, calm, knows his stuff, clearly a very, very hard worker. It's a fascinating prospect taking on someone like Emma with the situation she's in. I mean, how can everything be so new to her? Because everything is new to her, but yet she's won a Grand Slam already. It's
crazy.
So extraordinary. The only one I can even possibly compare it to in recent times would be somebody like an Ostapenko, but even she was a pretty established tour player and a former world number one junior, and I think she'd won singles Grand Slams as a junior anyway. So it's entirely different because Emma wasn't at that level. So in the one sense, he's pretty much taking a now 19-year-old girl and woman, she's 19, a 19-year-old woman, and sort of showing her the ropes of this is tour life. This is what it is. This is what playing in Cluj and in these tournaments and week in, week out, and this is what's expected, and this is what happens when you're not playing very well, and this is what's going to happen when you're playing okay, and all these different things that she's yet to experience. So it's almost like he's got a brand new player who's sort of ready to break through. And then on the other hand, she's Emma Raducanu, one of the biggest superstars this sport has. And she is. She's legitimately one of the biggest superstars this sport has.
When you split it out, spread it out
like that. How do you tackle that? So it's a fascinating project for him to take on, and one that I don't think anyone will ever see again. I don't think anyone's ever seen it in sport, because everybody's always been sort of on track. I mean, people talked about Osaka and how how it sort of came out of the blue for her. But then when you look at it in comparison to Emma, it didn't really. She won the future, what's it called at the WTA Tour Finals? Is it Future Stars Tournament? I think it's Future Stars. Yep. She won that. I think that was under 16s or under 14s. When she won, as in, she was on the map. People
yes.
were not surprised that she, you know, did incredibly well. It was obviously just the speed and that sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you go about it. Torben Belts is a very experienced coach. I think that it's a great appointment. I'm very excited for it. But whew, my word. I mean, I'm sure he'll enjoy it. And I hope that it's a really fruitful partnership. But it is not an easy job to do.
So due to the hour and a half we spent chatting before we started recording, we will have to go and do some work.
Oh, yeah.
Quite shortly.
Match on now.
So three quick questions. Who's going to win Guadalajara?
Ooh, Kontaveit.
Wow.
What's your answer?
Yeah, Magrutha. Because I've been thinking she's going to come good, and she's had injuries, and as I say, at the start of the year, new picture. So I just think, and the crowd with Magrutha, the atmosphere in some of her matches.
She's been great.
I think I'd like Sakkari. I'd say, but I'm going to go Magrutha.
Yeah.
You're going to go Kontaveit.
Kontaveit, yeah.
Who's going to win the Tour Finals?
Tour Finals.
Tour Finals.
Zverev.
Who's going to win this? I think... Oh, I can't be that boring. Okay, I'm going Rublev.
Oh, wow, okay.
Well, it's easy to say Djokovic, isn't it? Or Medvedev. Yep. That seems to be the common two.
Anyone who's lost their opening match? Because as we record this, we've had first rounds have been played.
Yeah. And we both picked...
Because people have lost matches before and still won the whole thing.
Yes, they have. Look, it's possible, but you're going Zverev, who, he hasn't lost... today, he hasn't lost. He looks like it's going to decide between Medvedev and Zverev. I'm going Rublev, who beat Tsitsipas. And would you be interested with a jumper that says dog mum? Christmas. Starting to think about Christmas.
I'd rather have nothing.
A friend of mine is starting up a new business.
Oh, no. Now is this about helping a friend?
Playing on the heartstrings. They're fantastic. And she's appealing. Apparently, there's all these dogs that have Instagram accounts. Actually, we have a few that follow us. But these dogs that are quite famous. And they just take photos of the dog and they put stuff on the dogs. You tried to put things on Sven, but he just looks too grumpy to be an internet sensation, I think. And now she's doing this. And one of her things, it says dog mum. Would you wear it?
No.
Excellent. All right, then.
Absolutely
okay,
not.
Okay, fine.
That's all I've got at the moment. Okay, so sorry to shut that one down.
No, it's fine. It's
looking
fine.
For the big finish of the pod.
Looking for the big finish. I'd love a jumper saying dog mum. So, all right, on that happy note, go and do some work.
I'll just go for the
Okay.